and the word Spirit be upon my lips. I'm going to ask your indulgence a little bit this morning. All of my training in preaching to date has been to preach without notes from the center of the congregation, which I suppose is probably upside down from the way most people are trained. So it's a little unusual for me to come to a pulpit and preach from notes. So if you will abide me, this is unusual for me, but I believe that I, in the course of my learning here, ought to experiment a little bit. And so help me out here if I get into trouble. It may not be obvious, but today's scripture reading is about sin, exile, and redemption. Jeremiah's passage heralds the return to Jerusalem of the Jews which had been taken into captivity in Babylon, and also those which had been exiled to Egypt and other areas. In the Gospel, the flight of Joseph and Mary to Egypt and their return is meant to remind the reader of the Jews' exile in Egypt and then their redemption and being led out by Moses. Jesus, in this passage, is the new Moses, the Redeemer, the Messiah, prophesied by the prophets. And Paul's passage in Ephesians, likely written to a group of churches, reminds the members of the churches of the great blessings they have received because Jesus, the Messiah, has redeemed them from their sins, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and brought them into the grace of God. There's a hymn of great praise and thanks for this redemption. When we sin, we exile ourselves from God. The pain and punishment we experience is not so much inflicted by God for our actions as it is a consequence of our actions. The commandments of God and the guidance in His Bible are intended to awaken us to that which is destructive. When God says, do not commit adultery, or have nothing to do with idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, do not engage in fits of rage or selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies, or do not covet that which is your neighbor's, He is not setting up arbitrary legal restrictions, but rather warning us against those things which are inevitably destructive to us and to those around us. It's more that we've been given a book of the captain's guidance for the great ship we are on far out at sea. It includes warnings about the edges, the boundaries, so that we do not fall overboard. You would not say God punished you. I would not say God punished me for ignoring the law of gravity. The great ship's book warns us not to ignore the boundaries of right living and tells us the consequence of ignoring them is certain death. Gravity takes its toll. Sin is much the same. Ignore God's warnings and you will surely suffer, as surely as if you leapt from the great ship and fell into the sea. We have all made that leap. Some of us have edged our way slowly over the stern, sinning by increments. Generosity withheld, an unkind or abusive word, a condescension, a bit of gossip, pride, racism, a harmless fling, a small hypocrisy to help fit in. And we often blame circumstance or society or our parents for our own actions. Others have laughed at God's warnings, called them superstitious, silly and irrelevant, or old-fashioned and unenlightened, and have leapt hard with great pride and boasting, certain they know better, over the side, and encouraging others to follow their brilliant lead. Still others have affirmed themselves to be God, or gods in the becoming, rather than His creation, capable, I suppose, of navigating the vast sea on their own without so much as a lifeboat. The precise sin of Adam and Eve in the third chapter of Genesis. I'm not talking about someone else, some group out there homosexuals or heterosexuals or Nazis or Somalian warlords or conservatives or liberals. I'm not accusing some other group of ignoring God's guidance and being sinners. But rather I'm talking about us, about all of us. We have all made the leap into the sea. And on our own, we will all surely drown. Jesus is God's offering to save us from death. The name Jesus literally means God saves. In Jesus, God has leapt into the ocean with us, has overcome the sea, overcome death. And while we thrash about or swim aimlessly, each trying to save himself or herself, Jesus stretches out his hand and says, "I'll save you, take my hand." Some of us are in denial. "Ha! I'm not drowning. I'm here because I want to be. Nothing wrong with me. Go away." Others know they're in trouble, but they won't admit it. They pull their hands back rather than confess their error and grasp his outstretched hand. Perhaps they believe they cannot be forgiven and are afraid to ask. He might say no. Still others insist there are many directions on the compass, many ways to salvation. I don't need you, Jesus. And they swim off toward the empty horizon, away from the God who saves, away from Jesus, away from the one who is God saves. Jesus calls us each by name. He stretches out his hand to us and offers to redeem us from our sin, to end our fear and pain, to pull us from the sea and bring us to his home, to live forever surrounded by his love and caring, like a young child wrapped up in a blanket, curled up with him in front of the fireplace, safe in his arms. But to be saved, we must admit we have sinned, whether with the pride of thinking we are gods, or with great boasting, or in small increments. We've all done it. Can you, can I, admit we are drowning? Can we acknowledge the sin? We cannot be saved if we deny it or turn away. We must admit it, turn toward the one who calls us by name, and let his outstretched hand reach ours. If you've done this, and if I've done this, then with Paul, we can praise God today for the grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, Jesus. And if we have not, then today can be the day we do. It's January 3rd, 1993, the day of salvation, the day eternal life with him begins. He is calling your name, and he's calling my name, stretching out his hand. We must admit that we are drowning and helpless to save ourselves. We must confess our sin and ask him for forgiveness. Whatever that sin is, whatever it is, he will most assuredly forgive us and save us. We need only ask, and ask now.